Hello and welcome to Exploring Magnuson Park. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren. On this show, I'll be interviewing organizations located in and associated with Magnuson Park to learn more about who they are, what they do, and how you can get involved. My guest today is Mark Houston with the Magnuson Community Garden. Mark, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Well, if you could start us off and let our listeners know what your role is at the Magnuson Community Garden and how you got started there.
Do we have all day? So my role is I'm the president of the board of directors of the Magnuson Community Garden, which is a 501c3 nonprofit, and it encloses seven different garden entities, most of which are operated by different volunteer groups. I'm also the site coordinator for Magnuson Pea Patch, which is one of the community gardens. The Pea Patch has about 150 plots that are gardened by gardeners who pay a small fee to garden there yearly. And then about an additional 50 plots that are designated food bank or pollinator plots. So that keeps me busy. I started in that Ballard Pea Patch back in 88. That's 1988, just to clarify. My wife got a plot at Ballard Pea Patch, and I sort of went along. I was the designated weeder. And over time, I took over the site leadership role there and was site leader at Ballard Pea Patch for about 10 years. Then moved across town, went without a pea patch for a couple of years, and one of our neighbors had a plot at Magnuson Pea Patch, and she said, you really ought to come and get a plot at Magnuson Pea Patch. So I got a plot at Magnuson Pea Patch, and very shortly thereafter, within a few months, the site leader at Magnuson Pea Patch had to step down because her partner needed more care. So I said, well, I don't know anybody here, but I'll go ahead and be site leader. And now I've been site leader here since 2016. So yeah, that's how that all got started.
All right. So a lot of experience with the pea patches and now with the Magnuson Community Garden as a whole. With the organization, how did that get started?
Well, this was really an amazing effort by a whole bunch of volunteers. Now, remember, Magnuson Park is situated on Sandpoint Naval Air Station. Well, yeah. Before that, of course, it was occupied by indigenous peoples, and I'm sure they didn't get asked if they wanted to give over the land. So we do acknowledge the origins of the property itself. So Sandpoint Naval Air Station, and I remember it being active in the 70s, and then it got turned over to the city when it was decommissioned. You can imagine there was quite a scramble for local neighborhood groups that wanted to have a presence at the park. And so one group had a pea patch at what's now part of the Children's Hospital property. Children's Hospital wanted to expand over that and build on that piece of property. And so Pea Patch said, well, we should be able to have a site at Magnuson Park right across the street from our existing Pea Patch. And there was some community pushback. People were concerned that, gee, there'd be people that might be gardening there at all hours. So the arrangement was that building that section of the park out would include the amphitheater. And that was a big plus for getting approval. And they got a grant for a couple $100,000. And so built with volunteers and with park staff, they built the seven different community garden spaces. And this was, we just celebrated our 20th year anniversary last year.
Congratulations. That's a long history then here in the park. So you've mentioned the specialty areas, the seven of them throughout the park. What is the relationship between those areas and Magnuson Community Garden?
The Magnuson Community Garden is the board oversees the budget and does fundraising and so on for the assorted garden entities. It has changed over the years, but essentially teams of volunteers have taken charge of the individual sections, the individual entities, but the board kind of just coordinates and especially figuring out ways that we can help each other.
Okay. Well, one of those areas you've mentioned is the pea patch. How do folks get involved with the pea patch? How do they sign up for a plot and start gardening there?
Can I tell you something funny I found out?
Sure.
So I went to the Seattle website, you know, City of Seattle website, and it has a little search box. So I typed in pea patch, and several options appeared in the drop-down box. But if you type in pea patch and hit enter, it says no results. So I think I need to talk to some folks at Seattle to fix that. So the simple answer is pea patch is under Department of Neighborhoods. And so if you go to the Department of Neighborhoods in the City of Seattle website, that does have a number of options. And one of them is how the pea patch program interest list works. And you sign up for two different gardens that are your first choices, and then you get on the interest list for those. And once your name comes up, they say, well, we've got a plot for you. Would you like it? And then if you do, then they sign you up. The fee is nominal. Typical plot is 200 square feet. And I think last year the fee was $66 for the year, and that includes the water.
And how long do folks keep or use this plot?
It's a classic bell curve.
Okay.
Where some folks just realize, oh, this was a good idea, but I'm too busy. And they're there for a season or less. And other folks have been there since the beginning, really. Guys like me who've been there since, you know, for decades. Mm-hmm. And then most people are there 5 to 7 years, and then something happens and they have to move on.
All right. So long as there's interest and the ability to maintain your pea patch,
right,
you can keep doing that. Now, you had also mentioned the connection between the pea patch and community food banks. What is that connection? What is that relationship and partnership?
Boy, I can't tell you. This is the coolest thing. I am so, so proud of the pea patch and the food bank program. So we have a group of volunteers that are gardeners, and we have two different ways that we accumulate produce for the food banks. One is we have some number of plots that are designated for food bank produce that are tended by volunteer gardeners. And then the other is gardeners contribute from their own plots. We all of a sudden have 13 cucumbers all at once, and we'll keep four and donate the rest, that kind of thing. Then we have a team that weighs and processes the produce and gets it all squared away for the various food banks. And then we have a team of drivers that deliver it, and they deliver it to three different food banks. We have three deliveries a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So the food that gets there is always really fresh. And it's really top quality organic. I mean, this is not just potatoes. This is lettuces and cabbages and cucumbers and tomatoes. And the word we hear from the food banks is that that is among the most popular items for the users of the food bank. Well, the year before last, we donated over 2 tons.
Wow.
So it was a pretty big deal. It was the second highest of all, well, let's see, was it the highest? I think it was the highest of all of the 90 pea patches in Seattle. Ours was the highest amount donated. This year, we donated over 5,300 pounds.
Okay.
So 2.5 tons yeah. this year.
Well, that is an incredible program.
It is really special. I am just amazed by that group of volunteers.
And you said there are three food banks that the produce goes to. What are those three food banks?
There's University District Food Bank. There's the Mercy Magnuson Housing. And then on Fridays, we deliver to Lake City Food Bank.
Okay. All right. So in the community, those food banks are benefiting, sounds like a lot, from the work that the volunteers are doing and the Pea Patch itself is doing.
Big benefits to very local mm-hmm.
yeah.
recipients.
Again, just an incredible program there. So moving into some of those other specialized areas, the demonstration orchard, what is that and where is that located in the park?
All of these entities are pretty much a stone's throw away from each other. And mm-hmm. these are all very well hidden between the Brig and the dog park. And people come through frequently and say, gee, I never knew this was here, or the Pea Patch was here. And I'd say, it's our little secret. Let's keep it that way. It's just because Magnuson Park is so vast. Mm-hmm. So the orchard is within sight of our little parking lot, which is – it's behind the Brig.
Okay.
And they have a number of espaliered apple trees and various varieties, and they've had apple taste-offs. That's run by Seattle Tree Fruit Society.
Okay. And then the next specialty area, the children's garden. What can you tell us about that?
Children's garden is a really rockin' entity. Those guys get a lot done. They have programs for children. They have training. They have support through the Master Gardener program. And they have a small presence in the Pea Patch. They do have a couple of plots at the Pea Patch where it's easy access for people with mobility challenges and so on. And they have a separate website, and they're not their own 501c3, but it's got a pretty well-organized executive board.
And then the Tranquil Garden. What can you tell us about that one?
Tranquil Garden is just a wonderful small space. It'll hold, I don't know, maybe 50 people if you cram them in. It has picnic tables in it, and it is surrounded by trees, native plants, and it's just a quiet place. It gets used by school groups in the summer, and that's where they'll come and eat lunch or they'll do art projects and so on. We use it as a gathering area, and it's right next to the Pea Patch.
And then the next one is the amphitheater, which you've already mentioned, but what else can you tell us about that one?
The amphitheater is the one entity that the park makes money on. Okay. If you want to have a wedding at the amphitheater, there's a nominal fee for that, but it is pretty much the only Magnuson Community Garden entity where the park itself, Magnuson Park, takes reservations.
And then the next two, we're going to put these together, the Native Plant Border and the Native Plant Nursery. What can you tell us about those two?
Native Plant Border is a group that is run by, I'm going to have to think about that, Washington Native Plant Society. Mm-hmm. And the border is a set of native plants that surround the Pea Patch and Children's Garden and their pathways through it and so on. It separates the Pea Patch from the dog park, separates a children's garden from the roadside alongside. So one group of volunteers maintains the native plant border. Then the native plant nursery, as I understand it, they have a partnership with the city of Seattle where they receive native plants and repackage them and grow them, and then they are used for plantings along the Burke Gilman or around Green Lake. So it's really a useful, really worthwhile nonprofit.
Well, with there being two of the specialty areas focused on native plants, why is it so important to incorporate that into the Magnuson Community Garden? And why is it important to protect these native plant species?
Well, it really does give, primarily, I think, is habitat. And this is for invertebrates, bees, and we have Cooper's hawks and so on. And we're trying to keep the invasive species in check. And so both of those aspects of the Magnuson Community Garden are really valuable.
Well, for those of you who are just joining us, this is Exploring Magnuson Park. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren. Joining me today is Mark Houston with the Magnuson Community Garden, a nonprofit that facilitates the operation of the community garden in Magnuson Park. So with the community garden being in Magnuson Park, what benefits do you see from there being that community garden and those specialized areas? I know you've talked about the food bank specifically with the pea patch. You have these community areas where folks are gathering. What other benefits do you see from having these areas within Magnuson Park?
It's a good place for people to meet and mingle and work and hang out with people that they wouldn't ordinarily run into. So with 150 gardeners, you're always meeting a couple of new people each time you go. And we make sure that with the work parties and so on, that everybody's each person is introduced to everybody else, even though we know that they already know who that is. But that way, the more people feel like they know people there, the more they'll want to hang out there. So I like to think that we're strengthening the fabric of society in small, local ways, because boy, do we need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is, again, just an incredible program, the community garden, the pea patch, those specialty areas, to bring that sense of community and to benefit the larger community, especially with the food bank program. Now, you have mentioned work parties. You've mentioned volunteers a few times. How do folks get involved with the Magnuson Community Garden to volunteer?
Well, Benjamin, I'm glad you asked. Well, for example, Magnuson Pea Patch has work parties every second Saturday in the morning. And it's just a show up kind of thing, no RSVP required. And so there's some of it is like reclaiming abandoned plots or doing maintenance around the garden. But also we're doing fun and interesting projects. For example, we have at Magnuson Pea Patch, we currently have 12 boxes, garden boxes made of cedar lumber that allow gardeners to garden at waist level. And this has been a real game changer for folks with mobility problems. And so we do have gardeners who say, I couldn't do this without these raised bed boxes. Well, we did get a grant from Rotary here. We're going to install two new boxes and replace a couple that have reached the end of their lives. So that's coming up this year. And we always have interesting projects like that going on. And the other entities, Native Plant Border, Native Plant Nursery, Children's Garden, also have kind of similar ways people can volunteer.
For the work parties specifically, how much knowledge do folks need to have about gardening and what typically goes on? What sort of tasks and activities will people be doing if they volunteer for those work parties?
I tell you, I have worked with people where you sort of had to explain to them which end of the shovel is which. So you really don't have to have a whole lot of knowledge or experience, because what we'll do is we'll take new folks and group them with a team. Mm. And you might be clearing a plot that needs clearing, or repairing gutters on the tool shed, or building projects. I think like Native Plant Nursery, they'll have repotting projects where they're taking the native plants out of large containers where they have a whole bunch of them and putting them in individual pots for distribution.
Well, I'm sure with the community garden, with those specialty areas, there is always work to be done. And it sounds like there is something for everyone if they want to and can contribute their time and energy to that. If they can't, how else might folks contribute to the Magnuson Community Garden? Can they do that financially, in-kind donations or material donations? What does that look like?
Boy, that's another good question, Benjamin. I'm really glad you asked. We have a number of, well, we have committees and ways that gardeners can participate without having to get down on hands and knees. Oh, for example, we apply for grants on a regular basis, and we're getting pretty good at it now. We just need people to be available to consult with us. Each of the websites, Magnuson Community Garden and Green Seattle Partnership and so on, have options of ways to be involved, and they are looking for volunteers in a wide variety of roles. And there also is an option to donate at most of those. And I can give you the website URLs if you like.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, this is it's actually surprisingly easy. For Magnuson Community Garden, the website is magnusoncommunitygarden, all one word, .org.
Easy.
For Washington Native Plant Society, it's even easier. It's WNPS.org. For Magnuson Children's Garden, it's magnusonchildrensgarden, all one word, .org. And for Seattle Tree Fruit Society, it's Seattle Tree Fruit Society, all one word, .com.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, easy enough to remember those. Outside of the websites, especially for Magnuson Community Garden, how else might folks learn more about the work you're doing? Is there a social media page? Is there a newsletter they can sign up for? How else do they find out more?
I put out a simple newsletter once a month on the first of the month that people who get hold of me or get hold of the PPATCH office in the city of Seattle can get on that distribution list. So it's just a listserv list.
Okay. And how would folks get on that list? How would they reach you or the PPATCH to get on that list?
Department of Neighborhoods, then you go to PPATCH, or here's an easy way. This is kind of old-fashioned, but you can call 206-684-0264. That way you can talk to somebody in the PPATCH office. There are, I think, six office staff that run the 90 gardens, and they're doing more of the issues like the leases for the various properties and collecting funds, and they manage the wait list. The individual PPATCHs are run by volunteers.
All right. Well, as we are wrapping up here, is there anything else you would like to say to our listeners about the work that Magnuson Community Garden is doing?
I'm just real proud of the work we've been doing. There's a ton of work to do in maintaining the existing structure, and then we're also trying to improve it as we go along. If you can find us behind the brig, come walking around, most of these entities will have some signage that talks more about how to get involved.
All right. Well, one final question for you. If Magnuson Community Garden had a theme song, what do you think it would be?
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. Ringo. Octopus's Garden.
All right. Well,
I'd like to be. Oh, never mind.
Well, that is perfect. Mark, thank you so much for being here. Really enjoyed learning more about Magnuson Community Garden, and I am sure we will see you out there behind the brig sometime soon. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Looking forward to it. Thanks again.
I'd like to be under the sea, in an octopus's garden in the shade. He'd let us in, knows where we've been, in his octopus's garden in the shade. I'd ask my friends to come and see an octopus's garden with me. I'd like to be under the sea, in an octopus's garden in the shade. We would be warm below the storm, in our little hideaway beneath the waves, resting our head on the seabed, in an octopus's garden near a cave. Octopus's garden in the shade. We would shout and swim about the coral that lies beneath the waves.
Beneath the ocean
waves. Oh, what joy for every girl and boy, knowing they're happy and they're safe.
Happy and safe.
We would be so happy, you and me. No one there to tell us what to do. I'd like to be in an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you.
Thank you for listening to Exploring Magnuson Park. My guest today was Mark Houston from Magnuson Community Garden, a nonprofit whose mission is to enhance the quality of urban life and strengthen community bonds by creating and sustaining an organic garden in Sandpoint Magnuson Park that will foster environmental stewardship, horticultural education, rejuvenation, and recreation. Visit magnusoncommunitygarden.org to learn more about this incredible organization. Magnuson Community Garden is also hosting an MLK Day project on Monday, January 15th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Magnuson Park Pea Patch. For this project, volunteers will be using hand tools to assemble, install, and prepare cedar garden boxes for spring planting. These boxes will greatly enhance the ability of gardeners with mobility challenges to enjoy a garden plot at waist level. Magnuson Pea Patch will provide all materials, tools, refreshments, and supplies, and plenty of really strong French roast. Check out magnusoncommunitygarden.org for more information and to register in advance. Another event coming to Magnuson Park, Club Northwest has their Winter Breeze Run on Saturday, February 10th at 10 a.m. This is a great event to do with a friend, family member, or Valentine, so come on down to Magnuson Park and get your run or walk on. Check out magnusonseries.org for more information and to get your tickets in advance. And thank you to everyone who contributes to Space 101.1 FM. It's your donations that make this show and all of our programs possible. If you'd like to contribute, want to learn more about the station, are looking for a schedule of our programs, or would like to listen online, visit space101fm.org. Stay with us for more amazing programs coming up today, and don't forget to tune in again next Thursday at 2 p.m. for more Exploring Magnuson Park. I'm your host, Benjamin Warren, broadcasting from Space 101.1 FM, the coolest radio station in the galaxy. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you at Magnuson Park. Walking.